everybody. This is Miguel Gonzalez welcoming you once again to another program of Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. Again, thank you for choosing to spend the next 30 minutes with us. Well, today we're going to continue where we left off on our last program. We were talking about the principle of abiding. We have been working our way through a series in which we entitled The Pursuit of Christ. This entire series is just simply studying and spending time exploring some of the principles that should be part of our Christian experience if we are going to be indeed a people who pursue Christ as the foremost passion in our life. But before we get started, let's go ahead and open up in our word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would open our eyes and ears that we may hear you. We pray that the Spirit would help us apply what we learn so that our lives may be conformed to the image of Christ. For it is in his name that we pray. Well, last week we started looking at the principle of abiding, and we spent quite a bit of time looking at John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. And in that passage, and I'm not going to go back to that, but in that passage we talked about, or Jesus talked about, the fact that Christians need to be totally dependent upon him in order to experience the kind of life that he wants you to experience as his child. We can do nothing, said Christ, we can do nothing of any lasting value. We can do nothing that truly brings glory to God unless we are abiding in him and we are showing total dependence upon him. We even looked at a passage of scripture that told us that whether we preach God's word or we serve him, and in any way in which we serve him, that we ought to do it in the strength of Christ. It is Christ who provides us what we need in order to be able to successfully live a life that will bring him glory and honor. And again, there's no higher privilege for any human being but to live a life that brings honor and glory to Christ. And for those of you who may not have a personal relationship with Christ, your perception of the Christian faith may be incorrect if you believe that the Christian faith is nothing more than a list of do's and don'ts, and that we worship a God who is determined to make life difficult for those who say they follow him. The Christian experience is the greatest experience you will ever have, because you, for the first time ever, will actually come back to life spiritually and experience life as you had never experienced it. In fact, for those of you who don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you really are, spiritually speaking, not even living yet. So the Christian experience, the ability to live a life that brings honor and glory to Christ, ought to be our passion, and that ought to be the desire of our hearts, because once again, we need to always remember who it is that we serve and why it is that we serve him. We talked also about the necessity of abiding, and we'll recap that by saying simply that apart from abiding in him and him in us, our life will not bear the fruit that he desires to see us bear. And remember this, if you are a Christian, and the question is not whether you're a Christian or not, if you're a Christian but you're not a fruit-bearing Christian, at some point, God may decide that there is no need to keep you on this scene any longer, because you are serving absolutely no purpose. And I said, listen, who wants to be taken away simply because he was not serving and living a life that brought glory and honor to Christ? And we want to close last week's message by just looking at another passage in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 18. This is what Paul said, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Listen, don't miss the point, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that passage, but you should mark it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Listen, Paul is telling us that as Christians, we are the people who reflect the glory of God in this world. When a person sees you and you're a Christian, they should be able to tell by looking at you, by looking at your character, by looking at your behavior, by looking at your lifestyle, that you are His child because your life reflects the glory of God. Listen, we have a great responsibility as Christians in this world. Do you understand that we as Christians are salt and light? The only reason the world has not come to an end, per se, is because the church is still present and the church is serving as a preserver for civilization and society. Listen, we have a grand responsibility to make sure that we properly represent the Lord Jesus, that we reflect through our life His glory, and that through doing so we attract people to the Lord Jesus. Yes, it is important that we talk about Jesus. It's important that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ audibly with people, but it is of the same importance or even greater importance that the words that we speak match, or that the lifestyles that we live match the words that we speak. Lifestyle, character, behavior, oftentimes will say a great deal more about you than the things you say. You earn the right to share Jesus with others when they have seen that you consistently reflect the glory of God, because they will come to the realization that you are indeed genuinely His child. Not one of those hypocrites that goes to church every once in a while, talks big religion, but whose lifestyle points to their true father, as Jesus would say, the devil. And remember, He said that to the Pharisees, "You are the sons of your father, the devil." Your lifestyle must bring glory to God as it reflects His glory through your life. Now let's look at the benefits of abiding. Going back to John chapter 15, what are some of the benefits of abiding? We're not going to talk about all of them because we would need a whole lot of time to cover all of them, but let's look at some of the benefits of abiding. John chapter 15, and I'm going to look at verse 7. John 15, verse 7. And don't lose sight of this benefit. Look at what Jesus said. "If you remain in me," listen, this is the ticket. He's repeated himself several times up to this point. He's talking about the Christian abiding in Christ. It's about that constant, consistent, daily fellowship with Him. Listen, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you." Now, well, we could spend a lot of time on some of the stuff he's saying here. Listen to the importance of Bible study. Listen to the importance of devotion. If you don't know what the Word of God says, how are the words of Christ going to remain in you? So that's just a sidebar. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you," listen, "ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." Now listen. We are not talking, I am not preaching the prosperity gospel. I am not saying that because you're a Christian, you can ask God to provide you with that pink Winnebago you want so badly. It's not about material things, although God may choose to bless you materially. We know God has done so for many, many, many Christians, because these Christians to whom He provides plenty are those who normally have the gift of giving and fund the church and the work of God in this world. But He's not talking about material things, although it may include material things. It is talking primarily about spiritual things. It's talking about, listen, when you pray and when you use the name of Jesus when you pray, In essence, what you're doing when you close your prayer, invoking the name of Christ, what you're saying is that your prayer is in accordance with the will of Christ. Oftentimes, we pray so many prayers and we invoke the name of Christ, but they have nothing to do with the will of Christ in terms of what it is He would want us to pray about. So we're not talking about a material prosperity gospel here. We're talking about a benefit that comes as a result of abiding, and the benefit is that anything we ask of Christ that is in accordance with His will, He will grant. And listen, if we pray for something and we don't get it, it doesn't mean He didn't answer the prayer. That's the answer. And if He chooses not to answer the prayer the way we wanted Him to choose it, it's because He knows that if we get it, it's going to create problems for us. He knows more about everything than we do. We have to rely and trust and depend on Christ for the proper answer to all our prayers, even though they may not be the answer we were hoping for. But listen, don't miss that. It's very important. If He abides in you, you abide in Him. You have that constant, daily, consistent fellowship with Him. If you're spending time with Him in the Word, you need to have the Word if the Word's going to remain in you. If you ask anything in accordance to the will of Christ, and how do you know what the will of Christ is? Read your Bible. That's how you know what the will of God is. Read your Bible. If you ask for anything in accordance to God's will, He will give it to you. It may or may not include material possessions. Another benefit. Well, let me stay on that one for just one more second. I want to look at one more passage in relation to prayer. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Very similar passage here. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." In essence, what is Jesus saying? The very same thing He said in John chapter 15, verse 7. If you live the kind of life I want you to live, and that's the kind of life we want to live, don't lose sight about that either. The kind of life or the life that Jesus wants us to live ought to be the life we want to live. That's the best life there is. It's not that Jesus is being contradictory or difficult by telling us different from what we desire. Whatever it is that He wants for me is the best thing I can possibly have. So what he's saying is, if you live as I'm asking you to live, which ought to be the way you want to live, anything you ask in accordance to my will, I will give it to you. Let's look at another benefit of abiding. Exodus chapter 15. And we're going to look at verse 13. Exodus 15, verse 13. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Did you see that? Another benefit to abiding is His guidance. If Christ abides in you, if His words abide in you, and you abide in Him, He promises, listen, He's talking to the redeemed, He promises to guide you every single day of your life. Even during those days where you believe that God has somehow abandoned you because you don't sense Him, He's there. And if you're sensitive to Him, you will just be able to hear and sense that guiding of God. Another passage we can look at in respect to this is in Psalm chapter 25. And if you don't turn there, at least write them down so you can come back and look at them at some point. Psalm 25. And I'm going to be looking at verse 5. Psalm 25, verse 5. I'll start at verse 4 to keep the context. "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. That implies abiding, right? If you're asking God to show you his ways and to teach you his paths, this implies abiding. But listen to what it says in verse 5. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Listen, guidance. Guidance is one of the benefits of abiding in Christ. That is one of the greatest ministries of the Holy Spirit in your life. Yes, to help you understand the Word of God as you spend time reading the Bible, but even equally as important is the fact that he's there consistently to take that Word of God so he can guide you every single step of the way. Let me look at one more passage, Psalm 73, a little bit further up. There's several passages. I'm not going to look at all of them. We won't have the time. But Psalm 73 and verse 24. I'll start at 23 to keep the context. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. Listen, that's a picture of an abiding Christian. That's a picture of an abiding Christian. Can you and I truthfully say that our lives look like that? Where we can say that God is always with us and we are always with God and God is holding our hand. Listen to what he says then in verse 24. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Man, ain't that beautiful? That is a picture of an abiding Christian, and that is a picture of how God walks with an abiding Christian. He takes your hand. He guides you. He teaches you. And when he's done all of that, then he takes you into glory. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Another benefit. We're going to move on because we're going to run out of time. Psalm 68. Another benefit to abiding in Christ is his provision. Look at Psalm 68 and verse 10. Your people settled in it, and from your bounty, O God, you provided for the poor. Listen, one of the benefits of abiding in Christ is God's provision. And again, God will provide for every need you have. It doesn't mean that God is obligated to give you every desire of your heart and every material possession you want. All he's saying is, listen, as long as you abide in me, I will make provision for all your needs, be they physical or spiritual. Another passage looking at provision is Psalm 111, and we're going to look at verse 9. Psalm 111, verse 9. Listen to this. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Listen, in addition to the fact that he provides once we're into... Listen, the truth of the matter is that he provides to a certain extent for all people. I mean, he's given us an earth to live on that has the resources to care for the needs of all people. But we're talking also about the spiritual provision that he makes. Those provisions he can only make to those who are rightly related to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this passage goes to the very beginning of all things that he's provided, particularly when we're talking about the Christian experience. In this passage, we're told that he is the provider of redemption. You know why we're saved? Because he saved us. You know why we've been justified? Because he justified us. You know why we are redeemed? Because he redeemed us. He made a deliberate decision in eternity past that in spite of the fact that the epitome of his creation, all of mankind, in spite of our sin, he would provide for us redemption. And listen, salvation, eternal life, Forgiveness of sin is a provision that He's made available to all people. If you are not redeemed, if you have not been saved, if you have not been forgiven of your sins, it's not because God didn't make provision for your salvation. It's because you, listen to me, you have chosen not to take hold of that which God has provided you with. God has provided you with the ability to be redeemed, to make a choice for Jesus. Once you've made that choice, then He makes provision for every need you have, be it physical or material or spiritual. Another passage we can look at, 1 Timothy. We go to the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let me get there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'm going to be looking at verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, listen, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. There's a lot to be said about this passage. And notice what Paul says about the rich. He knows that people with money will tend to become arrogant because they will start trusting money more than God. In fact, money will become their God. We have to be careful. It's not money that's evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. But listen to what he says. And this verse ends beautifully. Listen to what he says. But put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything. But he doesn't stop there. He richly provides us with everything. Listen, for our enjoyment. Everything that God gives you, every provision that he makes for you, he makes it with the intention of you enjoying what he's given you. Don't miss that. God wants to bless you. God wants to provide you with the material and the spiritual needs that you have so that you may enjoy those provisions and understand the importance of that relationship with the Almighty God. Last passage I'm going to look at, because we're running out of time, is 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. Listen to what Peter said. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength, listen, and we looked at this passage before, the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Listen, he provides us even with the very strength to do the impossible. Listen, we are called to do the impossible, only it's not really us who does it. It is God who does it through us, and he does it by the provision of strength that he gives. Listen, the benefits again of abiding, and these are just three. There's many more, but these are just three. Prayer, guidance, and provision. Well, we've reached the end of this message. Father, thank you so much for your word, for your provision, and for the other benefits that come from abiding. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.